Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 10, Maharaj Rahugana meets Jad Bharat, Text 25. Na Vikriya Vishvasurit Sakasya Samyena Vita Bhimate. Tava api mahat vimanat swakritat hi madrik nangshiti adurat api shulapani. Navi kriya vishva sarit sakasya samyena vita bhimate stavapi mahat vimanat swakrita dimadrin nakshatya durad api shulapani. Navi kriya vishva sarit sakasya samyena vita bhimate stavapi mahabhimanat svakritat dimadrin nakshatya durat api sulapani. Ladies, Vikriya Vishvasarit Sakasya Samyena Vita Vimate Savapi Hadvimana Swakritad Vimadrin Shatya Durarapi Sulapani. Na, not. Vikriya, material transformation. Vishvasarit, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is a friend to everyone. Sakasya, of you, the friend. Samyena, because of your mental equilibrium. Vita abhimate, who has completely forsaken the bodily concept of life. Tava, your. Api, indeed. Mahat vimanat, of insulting a great devotee. Swakritat, from my own activity. He, certainly. Madrik, a person like me. Nakshati, will be destroyed. Adurat, very soon. Api, certainly. Shulapani, even though as powerful as Lord Shiva. Shulapani. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Oh, my dear Lord, you are the friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the friend of all living entities. You are therefore equal to everyone, and you are free from the bodily conception. Although I have committed an offense by insulting you, I know that there is no loss or gain for you due to my insult. You are fixed in your determination, but I have committed an offense. Because of this, even though I may be as strong as Lord Shiva, I shall be vanquished without delay due to my offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Please repeat, oh my dear Lord, you are the friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the friend of all living entities. You are therefore equal to everyone. And you are free from the bodily conception. Although I have committed an offense by insulting you, I know that there is no loss or gain for you due to my insult. You are fixed in your determination. But I have committed an offense. Because of this, even though I may be as strong as Lord Shiva, I shall be vanquished without delay due to my offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Purport. Maharaj Rahugana was very intelligent and conscious of the inauspicious effects arising from insulting a Vaishnava. He was therefore very anxious to be excused by Jad Bharat. Following the footsteps of Maharaj Rahugana, everyone should be very cautious not to commit an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya 13 says, Shula panin sama yadi bhakta nindakare bhagavata pramana tatapi shigra mare hena vaishnavere ninde sarvagyanhi se janera adakpata sarvashastrakai. Even if one is as strong as Lord Shiva, who carries a trident in his hand, one will nonetheless fall down from his spiritual position if he tries to insult a Vaishnava. This is a verdict of all Vedic scriptures. He also says this in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya 22. Vaishnavera ninda karibeka yaragana Tara raksha samarthya na hika konajana Shulapani sama yadi vaishnavera ninde tatapiha nashayaya kaha shastra vrinde Ihana maniya Yesu jana nindakare janme janme se papishta daiva doshimare. One who blasphemes a Vaishnava cannot be protected by anyone. Even if a person is as strong as Lord Shiva, who blasphemes a Vaishnava is sure to be destroyed. This is the verdict of all Shastras. If one does not care for the verdict of the Shastras and dares blaspheme a Vaishnava, he suffers like life after life because of this. That's in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Discussion Between Jad Bharat and Maharaj Rahugana. So the verse again. Navrikina vikriya vishvasaritsakasya samyena vita vimate stavapi vahatvimanatsva krita dimatrin nakshat yadurarapis shudapani. My dear Lord, you are the friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the friend of all living entities. You are therefore equal to everyone, and you are free from the bodily conception. Although I have committed an offense by insulting you, I know there is no loss or gain for you due to my insult. You are fixed in your determination, and I have committed an offense. Because of this, even though I may be as strong as Lord Shiva, I shall be vanquished without delay due to my offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatim Deve Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyadyade Satarna. This is one of the prominent themes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the relationship between service to the Vaishnavas and spiritual advancement, and blaspheming of the Vaishnavas and destruction. In the material world, we're imagining that there is something good and bad, and therefore people are thinking that a certain arrangement of the material energy is good, and another arrangement of the material energy is bad. But actually, the very material conception of life is bad. Because in the material conception of life, the eternal soul misidentifies himself with the body, which is bad. So whether we misidentify ourselves with the body in the mode of goodness, or the mode of passion, or the mode of ignorance, it's all bad. Maybe, as Prabhupada said, wet stool and dry stool. In India, sometimes they have a debate whether the side of the stool, because people pass stool in the fields, and the sun is very hot, and therefore in a short period of time, the sun bakes the stool that's facing the sun. But the other side of the stool, which is not facing the sun, remains moist. So some people claim that the side of the stool, which is baked by the sun, is better than the side of the stool, which is still moist. But after all, the subject is stool. Wet stool and dry stool. Similarly, in the material world, relatively speaking, the mode of goodness is considered better than the mode of passion or ignorance. But after all, it's the material energy. And the material energy means the material concept of life. Because actually, there is nothing but spiritual energy. Brahmarpana, Brahma Hayavir, Brahmagno, Brahma Hutam. Brahmaiva tena gantavyam brahma karma samadhina. Person is sure to achieve the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities in which the consummation is absolute and the things which are offered of the same spiritual nature. In other words, everything is actually Brahman, but when that Brahman is covered by the illusory energy, it's called matter. But when matter is dovetailed in the cause of the Supreme Person, then the consciousness of the person who is doing that service changes back to spirit. That is, that the more the material energy is utilized in the service of Krishna, then the more the consciousness of the servitor reverts back to one's originally Krishna consciousness. That is, under all circumstances, under any circumstance, one can again become Krishna conscious if one simply utilizes one's current circumstance and utilizes that in the service of Krishna. Therefore, as it says, Krishna is an equal opportunity employer. He gives everyone an opportunity to engage in his service. But service to Krishna also means service to his devotee. Therefore, anye tve vama jananta shutyanye vyakupasate te picha titrantyeva mrityum shuti parayana. There are those who are not conversant in spiritual knowledge. They begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they can also transcend the path of birth and death. In other words, spiritual advancement has a lot to do with hearing. But we will only actually hear from someone if we think that they're worthy of service. If we hear instructions and we don't think that these instructions are worthy to be executed, then we won't bother really listening to them. Because why will we waste our time listening to something that we don't actually feel very valuable? On the other hand, if we actually are anxious to follow the instructions, then we'll also be very anxious to hear. If we think someone has something very valuable for us, is going to say something very valuable. For instance, if I said that the treasurer has left $1 million hidden in one corner underneath one of these marble slabs, and I'm going to tell you which marble slab it is, and the first person who gets the $1 million and gives it to the deities gets the whole mahaplate. And I'm going to tell you which number slab it's under. So everyone would probably pay more attention to that part of the class than to the other part of the class. Because it seems practical. We'll get something practical. Mitevidu swarthikatim hi Vishnu. People don't know that actually the goal of life is to attain Krishna. Therefore they don't take the people who are telling people how to obtain that goal of life very seriously, because they don't believe it has any value. Matter of fact, they think it's worthless. Matira na Krishne parataksatova mito bipadyeta grihavratanam. People don't know that the actual purpose of life is to become Krishna conscious. They don't realize that if they become Krishna conscious, then all their other problems are automatically solved. If you have $100, your 50 cent, your dollar problems are all solved. But because people don't believe that they're a spiritual being, they don't believe that there's a spiritual world, they don't believe that there's a supreme spiritual person, and they don't believe that the supreme spiritual person has his spiritual representatives, and that one can obtain Krishna by hearing and serving his spiritual representatives, therefore, people don't take the devotees as very seriously. They think they're worthless persons who couldn't do anything else in life, and therefore they jump up and down in the streets sometimes like crazy people, so hopefully they get some donations so they can feed their empty stomach. Like Kolavekar Sridhar, people used to criticize him. Because he'd be loudly chanting the holy name at night. And people thought, here's Kolavekar Sridhar, he's so poor, he's just making some money by selling bananas in Bengal, and everyone has bananas. You walk down the street, bananas will fall on your head. So why will anyone bother to buy bananas in Bengal? And even if they did, what price they're going to give for a banana or a banana leaf? But that's how he made his living, and 50% of that he'd give to worship the Mother Ganges. So at night he'd be chanting the holy name in his thatched cottage. His thatched cottage practically didn't even have a roof on it. So people thought at night, this man is so hungry because he's not making any money, he can't buy any food. He's so hungry at night he's howling out of hunger pains. So if he simply worshiped Mother Durga, then maybe she'd give him something to eat. People have no idea what is the value of devotional service, what to speak of the value of Krishna's devotee. Therefore, we find throughout the whole literature such materialistic persons who don't know that the goal of life is to obtain Krishna, who are in the Bali concept of life, generally they act improperly towards the devotees. We find Ramachandra Khan, he became envious of Haridas Thakur, and therefore he sent one prostitute in order to allure Haridas Thakur, have him fall down, and then arrest him. But of course, Haridas Thakur, instead of becoming allured by the prostitute, converted the prostitute into a devotee. But did that change Ramachandra Khan? No, Ramachandra Khan was so envious that even when Lord Nityananda came with his entourage, imagine Lord Nityananda coming to the temple here, what would we do? Well, hopefully we'd at least... What's that? We'd offer him some obeisances and give him a place to sit. We'd be quite happy, actually, if Lord Nityananda personally came. But Ramachandra Khan, what was his reaction? Because he had blasphemed Haridas Thakur, he lost all his intelligence. Therefore, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally came to his house. When he was in the inner part of his house, and Lord Nityananda came to the Durga Mandapa, the outside of the house. So Ramachandra Khan told his servants that tell this Lord Nityananda, or Nityananda, tell him and his cowherd boys to go find a cowherd shed where they can rest at night and maybe get some milk. Tell him there's not enough room for him and his friends. So his servant came, told Lord Nityananda, more or less, you know, get out. This house is not big enough for Ramachandra Khan and you and your cowherd boys. So Lord Nityananda became very angry. It is not a good idea to make Lord Nityananda angry. And he said, this house is not even good enough for meat-eating malecha, yavana. And he left in great anger. And then Ramachandra Khan was so envious, he told his servant to dig up the earth where Lord Nityananda's feet had touched and throw it out of the house. Could you imagine Lord Nityananda? He comes into your house, his lotus feet are all over your house, and he tells someone, dig up the earth and throw this dust out of the house. So what happened? Ramachandra Khan was not only envious of the Vaishnavas, but he was a cheater also. He was not paying his taxes. Although he was a tax collector, he was keeping more than his fair share. And therefore the Muslim tax collector came and arrested him. Him and his family took a cow right in where Lord Nityananda's lotus feet were formerly, where the dirt was thrown out, and butchered a cow on the very spot and roasted the cow for 3 days. And then proceeded to destroy the whole village where Ramachandra Khan was living. In other words, the only auspiciousity means in relationship to Krishna. Krishna is auspicious, and as much as we become Krishna conscious, our life becomes auspicious. And as much as we fall back from Krishna consciousness, then we fall deeper and deeper into ignorance, which means prasyo navadvatsam sa muda grihenat mano yat grihenat pidaya kriyate tpa parasyo savanatam vad tatama samudarita. mode of ignorance, as it gets deeper and deeper, becomes more and more inauspicious, more and more violent. All the good qualities are lost. More and more pain and destruction. Just like here in the verse it's mentioned, even one becomes as strong as Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is so powerful that he destroys the entire universe. Being charged to the mode of ignorance, at the time of destruction, Lord Shiva does his dance and the universe becomes destroyed. But even he, if he blasphemes a devotee, even he can become destroyed. Even though he's the destroyer of everything. Even death personified is destroyed by Lord Shiva. Therefore, the devotee who can bring one to Krishna, can bring one out of the modes of ignorance, Kirata, Hunanda, Pulunda, Pukasha, even the lowest of personalities can be delivered by a Vaishnav. If one criticizes or blasphemes, and what to speak of, we find Bhrigu Muni himself, he had kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest, the Supreme Vishnu. But he was forgiven by Vishnu. Although Lakshmi did not forgive Bhrigu, for that reason we find it hard to collect Lakshmi sometimes, the Brahmins, especially in Kali Yuga. But Vishnu is forgiving. But we find in the Vedic literature when Gopal Chapala blasphemed Srivastakur by putting the paraphernalia to worship Durga in front of his house, immediately at once he developed leprosy. And when Lord Chaitanya was passing by, he prayed for forgiveness by Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya said, because you blaspheme my devotee, therefore, my benediction to you is you're going to be in hell for millions of years. This leprosy that you're going to have, you're going to suffer for millions of years, this leprosy, and there won't be any relief whatsoever. Let you burn millions of times more than you are now. That's my benediction. So, why does that mean Lord Chaitanya, he wanted him to suffer? Ah, look at him, he's suffering. Suffer more and more. So, soft-hearted Lord Chaitanya, what was he doing? Because unless one gets the mercy of the devotee, one can't make any spiritual advancement. Yasya prasadam, Bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadam, nagati kutopi. Therefore, if he's suffering and he didn't realize that the root cause of his suffering was his blasphemy against the devotee, let him suffer millions of times more. So until he finally realizes he had to surrender to Srivas Thakur and ask his forgiveness. And indeed, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back, then Gopala Chapala prayed to him, please tell me what did I do wrong? Why did you give me this benediction? I'd suffer even more. And then Lord Chaitanya was able to explain to him that your life can only become auspicious not by getting my benediction, but if you ask forgiveness from Srivas Thakur, then if he forgives you, then your life can go in the right direction again. Durvasa Muni, so powerful, he was able to visit even up to Vaikuntha in this world and visit Lord Narayan, but because he had offended a Vaishnav, Ambarish, therefore he was constantly being harassed by the Sudarsan Chakra. So in other words, the root cause of auspiciousness is Krishna, and the root cause of becoming Krishna conscious is to hear, try to understand, and follow the instructions coming from Krishna's representatives. Because one may say that only the topmost Vaishnav will be in difficulty if we offend him, but other lesser Vaishnavas, we can easily offend them and get away with it. Krishna won't even notice. I feel bad today. I have to, offend someone, so I might as well offend some Vaishnava. No, that's not the way the material world works. That's not the way the spiritual world works. Actually, anyone who is representing Krishna, either by body, mind, or words, to that extent, they become an instrument for Krishna, And to that extent, they become something like a Vaishnava, either first class, second class, or third class. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami has cautioned us, Krishneti yasigiritam manasedriyeta dikshasi tat praniti vishtabhajantam isham shushu shaya chabhajantam ananya anya indati sunyaridayam isita sangalabdhya. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name. Not that here is a devotee, he chants the holy name, but he's not very advanced because he doesn't even follow the regular principles. He doesn't know the philosophy well. He doesn't follow the principles. Therefore, he's a perfect object of my envy. No, I can get away with criticizing him and no one will notice. Matter of fact, Krishna will appreciate it that I'm going around informing everyone about how rotten and fallen this Vaishnava is, so that way no one will associate with them. I'm like Paul Revere going around telling everyone this rotten Vaishnava is coming. Run for the hills. No, that's not the way it works. Ramachandra Puri, he came to to Jagannath Puri. He was a great offender against Lord Chaitanya. He even criticized Lord Chaitanya due to his imagination. But Lord Chaitanya was very tolerant. And indeed, he wanted the other devotees to be tolerant also. Although the devotees could not tolerate rightfully when he was criticizing Lord Chaitanya, or when Lord Chaitanya was fasting unnecessarily due to Ramachandra Puri's insults and criticism. But still, Lord Chaitanya showed a perfect example of tolerance, because somehow or another, Ramachandra Puri was connected with Krishna consciousness. As a matter of fact, in the Gaura Ganadeshapika, it says that Ramachandra Puri was an incarnation of Jatila, Radharani's mother-in-law. Anyhow, that's a sideline. In any case, if we want something auspicious, then we have to at least mentally honor the devotees who chant the holy name. Although, if it is our duty, sometimes we may speak truthfully in order to serve the higher authorities. But we should not take pleasure or necessarily criticize people who are chanting Hare Krishna. Instead, we should try to avoid their association, because otherwise we may wind up criticizing them, and that may be an impediment, an obstacle in our own spiritual advancement. And we should cooperate with those who are chanting Hare Krishna and following the principles given by the previous authorities who are making spiritual advancement. Otherwise, we'll fall down from our platform of trying to make spiritual advancement. And we should faithfully serve those pure devotees who are advanced in unalloyed devotional service and whose hearts are devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Those who can see everyone and everything in relation to Krishna, who act respectfully towards all living entities, that is the goal. So if we serve them faithfully, then gradually we'll come to that goal. But if we offend them, then ultimately we're offending the root, and therefore we're offending all living entities, because we're offending the source of all living entities, Krishna and his devotees. Therefore, it's not recommended. Instead, one should take to the process, learn how to respect all the devotees and according to their spiritual attainment. Therefore, our life will become positive. And to the extent that we're not properly following that instruction, then either our minds are becoming disturbed, or activities are becoming disturbed, or our intelligence is becoming disturbed, and therefore we can't make spiritual progress, because we can't hear the truth about Krishna, and we can't hear the truth about all other living entities also. So, we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Truth to come from.
Thank you for the nice class, Maharaj. I was discussing a point with a few devotees about this matter of offenses. What if, you know, a devotee says or does something to another devotee that would normally be regarded as an offense, but the devotee doesn't take it as an offense? Is it an offense?
Well, I guess since it's a hypothetical question, it could be anything. But you said it was an offense, so taking your words that it was an offense. Can you give me an example? Because I, you rotten, no good son of a. Is that an offense? Well, it depends upon. Yes, certainly it's an offense, because as you said, it's an offense. It does, as it says here, you may, the devotee may be tolerant, he may not take it as an offense, but ultimately Krishna will take it as an offense. Krishna is the one who ultimately makes the judgment. If Krishna thinks it's an offense, then it's an offense. If Krishna thinks it wasn't an offense, then it won't be an offense. So you have to ask Krishna. Yeah.
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read about a mock fight between Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu. And, you know, they're supposedly saying offensive things to each other. And although it's a mock fight, it's still offensive, you know, how they're treating each other. So if two devotees are doing the same thing, like, you know, you're saying something, but it's in you're just doing it like as a plaything or a joke. Is that offensive? I mean, are you committing an offense to that devotee?
Probably. Unless you're Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya. Because they're speaking, to us it sounds one thing. Just like when the reverse of that was Jarasandha, when he saw Krishna before they did battle with each other. Jarasandha started to blaspheme Krishna, but the mother, the goddess of learning, Saraswati, was actually turned those blasphemy into praises of Krishna. Or Pundraka, before he did battle to Krishna, he also criticized Krishna, but the mother of goddess of learning changed that, and similarly Sushupal. But ultimately they were vanquished.
But what about the point that if it's like affectionate, in other words, the two Vaishnavas...
Yeah, therefore they're
affectionate to each other, and their affection is being expressed by this mock, a sort of exchange.
Therefore the actual meaning is determined by their actual, what they were actually feeling. Therefore, in order to understand it, we have to be as learned as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to explain to us what's really going on there. Because we may not see that it's actually a flow of love, exchange of love. We may take it otherwise. So in our conditioned state, we don't know what's going on. Therefore, we need the help of authorities to understand things clearly. Prabhupada gives the example when Bhishma Dev was firing arrows at Krishna, and Krishna's body was erupting in blood, spurting in blood. But was that an offense by Bhishma Dev? No. He gives Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura says that this exchange between Bhishma Dev and Krishna is just like a lover when they're biting each other. So it appears, I mean, if someone walks up to you and bites you, you may take that in one way. But in this loving exchange between two lovers, when they bite each other, it's going to be taken in a different way. So the consciousness is also in a factor.
Then what about the battle of Kurukshetra when Krishna was being shot at with arrows by Bhishma Dev, and he took those as being...
That's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura said. It was like a lever biting another lever.
Yeah, but that wasn't offensive for Bhishma Dev to be shooting at the Supreme
Personality of God. No, it was actually fulfilling Krishna's... Krishna, of course, has a spiritual body. It wasn't that after the battle, he needed blood transfusion.
But now, his intent was to kill Arjuna.
Yeah.
His attempt actually was
to see Krishna exhibit his chivalrous rasa. Bhishmadeva, of course, their activities on the platform of rasa. Therefore, we can't really understand it. Yeah. Anything else? Yes.
I might be wrong, because it's been a while since I read this part of the Bhagavatam carefully, but to the best of my understanding, I don't think Maharaj Ambarish was offended when Durvasa Muni came and, you know, did that thing where he evoked the demon and...
Offended? No, of course he wasn't offended.
Yeah.
But in fact, he was praying for Durvasa Muni.
Yeah.
It is said in one part of that Srimad Bhagavatam, that when he saw the fiery demon coming towards him, he began to concentrate. That's in the Nectar of Devotion. He began to concentrate upon Vishnu. And because he was concentrating upon Vishnu, tears of love started to flow from his eyes. He was completely in ecstasy. And then, of course, we know he fasted for a year, hoping that Durvasa Muni would be forgiven.
Question is, I just threw that in because I thought that was part of an answer to Judhakarma's question, that even if the devotee's not offended, obviously Krishna was offended by that action of Durvasa Muni, and that's why he sent the Sutta Sanchakra to...
Yeah.
My question is, I don't actually know if I've committed any offenses to other Vaishnavs. I mean, I think it's...
Well, don't worry about it. You probably have.
Yeah. I was just about to say,
I'm
sure it's quite possible.
Well, one of the ways we can tell whether we've offended Vaishnavs is if we can hear perfectly. When we completely give up our offenses against the Vaishnavas, then we can hear from them perfectly, and we'll be able to see Krishna directly. So if we can't see Krishna directly, then we know we're offensive to some degree or another.
Okay, so what do I do in the meantime? Should I go around to everybody and ask them, please forgive me for if I may have committed any offenses to you? Or I mean, I'm serious.
Okay. Well, you'd spend the whole day doing that. We wouldn't have anything else to do. But we should serve the Vaishnavas. You can spend the whole day going around serving the Vaishnavas. If you do that, especially the topmost Vaishnava like Prabhupada, if you spend the whole day serving him, then all your offenses will cease. Isn't there a song like that?
This is why every morning we say that to Prabhupada through this job.
Yeah.
We're asking for forgiveness from all the Vaishnavas.
We're asking to serve them.
Yeah.
Forgiveness, yeah. Anything else? Wow, there's a lot of questions. What time do we have to stop? Okay, last one. Okay, Sura.
What is the duty of a devotee if he sees or hears someone blaspheming Srila Prabhupada? What is our duty?
Well, you could take a knife and cut the person's tongue out and then commit suicide, but... that would not be very good. What is the duty? Well, the best thing is that we could do is either counteract their blasphemy by our arguments, defeat them, or go away. Otherwise, that's what's generally recommended, either counteract their arguments by our superior philosophy, or just go away, neglect them. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.